Even drinking?
No! Well, 10 beers.
My advice to you, start drinking heavy. I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Now, whose ass I gotta kiss to get myself a beer?
Welcome to Big Foamy Head, show 31.
Show 31.
And this is our after spring break show.
Right.
So, we're just going to get caught up on everything we've been doing for the last couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks, yeah. And we've been, we've both been traveling different places, doing different things, brought some more beers back, got plenty of beer in the refrigerator, and lots of things to talk about. But wanted to, real quick, say thanks to Susan and Jamie for show number 30, the Beer Babe Show.
We've had a lot of really good feedback from listeners, and they've done an exceptional job at promoting themselves.
That's right. Yeah, and so we're looking forward. Hopefully we're going to have them back on the show again real soon.
And they've got great show ideas for the future.
Yeah, they're getting really engaged, so who knows? This may turn into a whole group of people before you know it. So, Rick, you brought some beers back.
Yeah, we went skiing up at Lake Tahoe, and on the way stopped at a couple of stores in Sacramento and then a liquor store up in Lake Tahoe itself on Nevada side. And then just everywhere I went, I was looking for, you know, local beers that we don't have around here.
Yeah.
So the first of what we're starting with is the Sudworks.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sudworks is not in Lake Tahoe, though.
No, they're in Sacramento on the drive up.
Okay.
There was a brewery in Lake Tahoe that was bottling their own beer. Yeah. And I did see a six-pack of it, but the brewery's been closed down. So.
Oh, so no more beer from there.
Yeah, I didn't pick it up. It was a Lake Tahoe Red Ale.
Hmm. Okay. Well, so the Sudworks, though, we just had a Sudworks Pilsner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a Pilsner.
It was good.
It was good. I mean, it was definitely not a bad beer. I'm just not, you know, I'm partial to more stronger flavors.
Malts and hops.
Yeah. But this one was good. It had a little bit of a corn, I thought, a little corn adjunct or some kind of adjunct, that kind of rich but not overly powerful, I guess. I said it was like a light spotted cow.
Yeah, it's definitely less flavorful than the Pilsner or cow.
Yeah. But, you know, they're Pilsners. They're supposed to be. You can drink a lot of them. And
so their description, it's light in color but rich in character. Sudworks Pilsner is brewed with pale two-row malt and halotone tetanang hops of the highest caliber. Pale, strong color, malty with an elegant bitterness and fragrant hop aroma. Well, they think more of their beer than we do.
Well, what you just said, richness of character. I think that the light richness of character, I think that was it. That's what I had said without benefit of actually having read the description. So.
It's actually very difficult to brew light beer.
Yeah.
You know, because they pick up every kind of off flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, these guys are out of Davis, California, and UC Davis is one of the few colleges in the country that actually has a degree in beer making.
Yep. So we need to be on the lookout for more of those Davis beers and see what they come up with.
So we're done with that, and we'll jump into the Sudworks Marzen next.
Okay. And while we're getting into that, you went to Tahoe, and you were telling me you went to a brew pub there?
Yeah, there's a really good brew pub. It's the brewery at Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually on the California side. I always spend my time at the south of the lake. And we were skiing at Heavenly Valley. They've been bought by Vail, so their prices have jumped about $20 per lift ticket, and they really haven't done anything to the resort. So I don't know if they're going downhill or not, but it's a good place to spend money.
Yeah. Well,
anyways,
that's what they're there for. Spend all your money so you don't have to carry it around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It snowed and snowed and snowed. So
you said you'd gone to the brew pub and you had some difficulties with trying to bring some of it back.
Right. They had a real, what I considered an exceptional beer. It was the Needle Peak Ale. And it had a lot of pine resins and, you know, a great beer. They had a very good sampler. So that was the best the sampler that I had. It turns out that they used to offer 22-ounce bottles, but they discontinued that for about a year, and I think that's just an awful idea. They ought to continue selling.
Yeah, really.
They were selling growlers, but they said they would only last for about 2 days.
Right, which that seems just kind of silly to me. I mean, how hard is it to seal it up? The brew pub that I brought a growler back from
That was in Chicago.
In Chicago, the Goose Island Brewery. They put a little shrink wrap over the cap. And
yeah.
Turn a hairdryer on it. Bam. Good for a week. Easy.
Yeah. I wish that the brew pubs would bottle beer because there are a lot of people like you and I that go in there and we want to take some of the beers home with us. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great advertising for them. Anyway, this place, they had T-shirts and kind of California funky pizzas, and it was crowded. It was a good place.
Yeah. So overall, you did get to hit a brew pub.
Yeah, and I would definitely stop there again. I have been there before, and I'll go back. So
good. So
the one they advertise is the Badass Ale. It's not really their best, though.
Really?
They've got several that are better than that.
So you got a little list there of what they got?
Yeah, they had a Alpine Amber Ale, Badass Ale, Belgian Wit, Indian Pale Ale, Needle Peak Ale. Needle Peak is the one I was just talking about that's so good. Prince of Pales, and a Washoe Wheat Ale, which was also very good.
So how was the Belgian, was it a wit beer?
Yeah, Belgian wit. I got a little description off Rate Beer. It says the aroma was nice, spicy and fruity. The flavor was much the same, spicy cloves, fruity and pungent.
Yeah.
You know, orange peels and malts. So.
Well, the reason I asked is I've been seeing a lot of white beers lately. I've been seeing that Hoegaarden. And I have been seeing here recently in some of my travels, Sam Adams White Ale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I bet that's good.
It's on tap. I've been in, I was in Alabama, I was in Chicago, and it just kept popping up everywhere I went. I didn't know if there was some white ale or wit beer renaissance going on that nobody told me about because it's everywhere.
So we're tapping into the Sudwerk Marzen, and this is a lot closer to the style we like. It's a lager.
Yeah, you can smell that. I mean, it's got that good kind of molasses-y, malty nose to it. It's got kind of a tan head. It's that good, it looks like pancake syrup is the color of it. I mean, this is Mrs. Butterworth's color right there.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously not as thick. It's
no, but same color, and... yeah, good stuff. Yeah, this one's not as malty as some of the other Marzens, but it's definitely a sweeter beer.
And Marzen is for March.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that on the last show, right?
Good,
Oktoberfest and Marzens, so we're drinking it at the right time.
Yeah,
It says it's full-bodied, amber-colored lager. Mm-hmm. Marzen is traditionally brewed in March and enjoyed during Oktoberfest. Due to its popularity, we brew this lager all year.
Okay.
It is brewed with 5 roasted specialty malts and the highest quality Bavarian hops. It is slightly sweeter than our other beers. Original gravity is 13.5 Plato.
So there's no, we have no idea about the alcohol in these, but Marzen's are probably, about 5, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad at all.
It was nice being back in California where they don't have split the beers by alcohol by volume. You know, so you don't have to go to a liquor store for certain ones and... You know, the grocery store for
that's
the other
true.
Half, you know.
Yeah, it's a lot more convenient. Well, I didn't have the luxury of going to Lake Tahoe. I had kids dropping like flies left and right. And so we had planned on going to New Orleans and doing some charity work, believe it or not.
Oh,
I had
nice.
It all lined up. We were going to go down there. And if anybody has that as an idea, I looked up New Orleans charity. And I got this charity website, and so there was this opportunity to get on there. The whole family could do it, and you prepare meals for the workers there. So it's pretty neat. So Catholic Charities of New Orleans puts it on. So anyway, while that sounded real great, and of course I was hoping to see if my favorite beer store in the entire world survived.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there on Decatur. I don't know. I still haven't got word whether they survived or not. But
so
I wanted to
you
go
were
going to
be able to work in a little beer.
I had my hidden agenda. Yeah. But instead, I ended up staying home. And so I took my vacation in Memphis. And that turned out to be a really great thing. I put in a lot of time down on Beale Street. I took the kids. There was something for everybody. They could run around in the park while Daddy had a beer or three. They had the bands out there playing. It was just fantastic. Then I went to, Memphis is, and I've been big on Memphis music, but I really, you were talking about somebody else who got religion while going to the Church of Soul and Blues. I went to Soulsville, USA, which is what they call Stax
Stax Music now. Stax Music was a Memphis institution back in the started in the late 50s and the 60s and winding up in the 70s. They were just a powerhouse in blues, R&B, soul music. I mean, everybody who was anybody played there. Then,
if you need to listen to some of the songs on the record label, go rent the Blues Brothers, because just about every artist on there was a Stax artist.
Absolutely. And they cover everything. Or visit SoulsvilleUSA.com.
Great museum, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do get religion going there.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And so I went through, I lost track of the time. They've got like Isaac Hayes' old Cadillac Eldorado with the gold plate on mm-hmm. it. They've got the original studio set back up. It's just fantastic how, for such a, honestly, a crude studio, and they freely admit that, they just produced this fantastic sound. And they did everything ass backwards and wrong. You know, studios are very small, tightly controlled. The Stax Studio, well, first, they did it in a movie theater because it was cheap. They had started originally, they started with $400 a piece, started in a shed out in Moscow, Tennessee. Well, nobody was coming out there, so they kept moving in.
That's pretty far out there.
It's way out there. They'd come in a little closer. They set up something. Finally, they got an opportunity to buy the movie theater for like $1,000 a piece. So they got in, they did that, they set up shop, and went to work. And they just did everything, like I said, they did everything wrong. They had these kids come in off the street. And if kid wanted to start singing, and they said, oh, you sound pretty good, coming back here, let's do a record. They let kids come in, they built a record store next door. They let kids just pick up records and play them and listen to them. So it set all these precedents that we have a lot of today. And back then, they were considered, you're just wrong. What's really interesting, though, is when you get in there and you look at where Stax is, and then you look at, they have a map of the neighborhood. And on that neighborhood, it shows all of the artists and where they lived.
Right, and they were all like blocks away.
They walked to the studio, yeah. So what I brought for some of our music to enjoy today is I brought one of my favorite artists, and he is a Stax artist from a while back. He's passed away. He passed away in January 2000, I believe. But his name's Johnny Taylor. And you recognize a lot of the music that I play, but what I did not realize was that, like everybody else, he had to adapt to some of the changing styles. So Stax shut down in the 70s. He went with somebody else, and before you know it, he had recorded another song that he had to, you know, stick with the time, so he did a disco song, and it was that song, Disco Lady, which on this day, today in history in 1975, became the very first platinum record ever. We're not going to play that.
Oh, good. I was about to say we're going to play disco for the first time ever on Big Foamy Head.
We're not going to play that. We'll push the envelope a little bit, but we got our limits, right?
Next, you'll be pulling out ABBA.
No, we're not going that far. But I've got this Johnny Taylor, and so we're doing the Johnny Taylor retrospective, and this is the first cut. Who's Making Love?
She's the only woman. There is something you never.
That was Johnny Taylor, as you can tell by listening to him. He's got a voice on him. We got some more Johnny Taylor coming up later on, and some more music and music news and beer news. And pretty
we've
much
moved
everything.
Into the Ruby Mountain Brewing Company, mm-hmm. and they're out of Clover Valley, Nevada.
And we're drinking their lager, right?
Vienna-style lager, a lighter version of the classic celebration beers known as Mars and Oktoberfest. Our Vienna lager has a nice toasted malt character and a slight amber color, high-quality noble hops, add classic hop flavor and aroma without the bitterness.
Well, I like this one. I like this a lot more than the Sudwark.
Yeah, smooth lager. And refreshing. Our Vienna lager is a great change of pace in the classic European style. So it's good stuff. Yeah.
And it is kind of like a light Marzen style, like I said in there. Okay, so this is very good. I'm enjoying it a lot. And so we were talking about music and some of the things that that we had there. And you mentioned that one of the other things that you did while you were off was you went downstream to the local gambling emporium in Tunica,
Samstown, right? In Tunica, Mississippi.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever mentioned that we got gambling.
Yeah, we do. It's pretty famous gambling, I think. I think a lot of people fly into the area just to go to Tunica.
I know it's bigger than Atlantic City.
They were trying to host some fights out here. And
had the Mike Tyson come back.
Certainly some of the smaller shows come in through here. Mm-hmm. We saw the Go-Go's. I'm a huge Go-Go's fan. I have been since the early 80s, and it was just great seeing them. It's my first time I've ever seen them live.
So how did Belinda look? Was she holding up?
Belinda was looking great, but the surprise, and I never really focused. I think this was before MTV even, because they were doing the 25th anniversary of Beauty and the Beat.
Uh-huh.
But they've got this really cute girl named Jane Wedlin in there.
Yeah, I know. The guitar player.
She's a tiny little thing.
She is.
Yeah, on her guitar she had a little Yoda, and he was running around with his lightsaber. And just bubbly and perky. And what a classy surprise, you know.
And she was they used to talk about her as she really can play the guitar pretty well.
Yeah.
And I think she wrote children's books or something during their
she's done a variety of things. I was kind of infatuated with her over the last couple of days. So
I did a web search
or two, and she's been in a couple of bands, a couple of movies, but to me she's probably the driving force behind the Go-Go's.
So you are starting to cheat on Belinda and look at Jane?
Yes,
is that what
I am.
I'm hearing?
Yeah,
okay.
I had a hard time trying to figure out which one I was going to look at, and
I think
they have quite the lesbian following too. Although I wasn't certain.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, they were big trendsetters back in the day, and that's really. I'm sure that was a good show. And what was the mix of the crowd?
Not implying that I'm a lesbian, but
I don't know, Rick. You might be.
It was mostly us 40-somethings.
You seem to have this fondness for women. I've been noting lately.
Well, that's
I hadn't
true.
Wanted to bring it up, but there it is. Judge for yourself. But I'm not judging you.
Yeah. Right.
So it was a good show. And speaking of good shows, man, have we got the killer of all shows coming up? Our big deal.
Yes, we do.
Our big deal every May, we have a month-long celebration called, appropriately enough, Memphis in May. We've talked about the barbecue team, which I suppose now is as good a time as any to drop the ball.
Yeah, well, say that we dropped the ball.
Yeah, yeah, we dropped the ball. It just didn't come through. We talked to our friends at the Commercial Appeal who were nice enough to want to follow us. Apparently, we impressed them enough, and then we had to come clean and say, look, you know, we don't have enough folks rallied up to do this. We're working a lot, we're traveling a lot, and it's probably best. And Leslie Kelly, the food editor, was very gracious about it and said, well, you know, she wished she could follow us, but she would go with somebody else. So
it was a wise idea for her to follow another team.
It was. And we're going to keep in touch and follow them, and hopefully we'll have some Memphis and May barbecue report. But what precedes the World Championship Barbecue is Memphis and May. And you got a lineup somewhere.
Yeah, we got the Memphis and May Music Festival.
Yeah, and this is just an amazing lineup. It's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 5th, 6th, 7th. I know the saying is they give discounted tickets. You can buy them online, memphisandmay.net, not .com. It's memphisandmay.net or .org.
Well, the tickets are on sale through Ticketmaster.
That's right, and you can buy them through Ticketmaster, but if you go there, they got a deal on the website where it's discounted until May 1st.
Right. $50 if you buy before May, I think, for all 3 days.
Right, because when it's May, the deal goes away.
Right.
That's
their
tagline.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's just amazing. We talk about blues. We talk about soul, R&B. The lineup, this is just the Friday lineup.
B.B. King is opening.
He's coming back to town. We've got Train, Rob Piazza and the Mighty Flyers, Puddle of Mud, Brian Adams. Some of the other. Here's another big name from Memphis, 3-6 Mafia. What better on a Friday night? You know,
our Academy Award winners.
Yeah, that's right. And Big Star is coming back. Now, Big Star, if you're a music aficionado, you know that Big Star was the band that featured the mythical and mystical Alex Chilton. Alex Chilton was a huge influence in music back in the 80s, 70s, 80s. What he is best known for commercially was when he was 16 years old and recorded this little song called The Letter with the Box Tops.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And Alex then, he continued to play, but the Big Star albums are regarded by music critics and music fans alike as just like real seminal cutting-edge records. They kind of got into the new age, new wave sort of blend. Mm-hmm. And the other place is one of the songs, I think it's September Girls, is a version of that is used as the opening for that 70s show.
Oh, okay.
That they kind of bastardized a little bit. But anyway.
Tons of people. Cake, Huey Lewis in the News, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yep.
Well, he's a local.
Yep.
Bruce Hornsby.
Yeah,
is he bringing in the range?
I'd come in just to see Jerry Lee Lewis before he dies off.
Bo Diddley.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be something. John Lee Hooker singing a little Boom Boom. Man, that's going to be great. The Barquets. And we were talking about some music. I got some Barquets coming up a show or two from now. Some classic Barquets. We've got Jim Blossom.
Stained is a good band.
Okay, now I'll tell you something about the Barquets that you probably didn't know.
Okay.
Well, you know who Otis Redding is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know who his backup band was?
Barquets.
Oh, okay. There you go. So when Otis's plane went down, right, and he died, it took out half the Barquets with them. So fortunately, the surviving members of Barquets, Jim Blossoms, Al Capone, another local guy, Big Jack Johnson, Richard Johnston, Jesse May Hemphill. That's going to be some great blues. They got all kinds of Lazy Lester. We played him on the show a few shows back. We've got Stained, Blues Traveler, Johnny Winter, James Brown.
I feel
good. Hell yeah. That's going to be great. Shine Down, they're fantastic. But it's what I've noticed on this one is probably more blues-focused than any other.
Well, that's
blues
good.
And R&B.
That's good.
It's going to be a great time. 3 days, drunk on the river. Get a hotel room.
Yeah,
we
get people coming in internationally for this event.
I'm planning on staying downtown and just enjoying myself way, way too much. And that's what it's for. So, back to the beer. I digress. I'm kind of eat up with the music here. I'm still feeling my spring break religion from going to see all the Memphis music, and I really had a big time. And it's getting that time. You know, we're getting into spring next week.
Yeah. Well, I think the first day of spring is come and gone.
We're about
to have our daylight savings time.
That's what I'm saying. Next week.
So
or this weekend.
Anyway, time to crack another one.
And what is this?
This will
one?
Be the Ruby Mountain Brewing Company Bristlecone Brown Porter.
Right.
Five different types of malt are used in brewing our brown porter. Low hopping rates help accentuate the roasty, chocolatey malt character of this very drinkable brown porter. Don't be afraid of the dark. We've heard that before.
Yes, we have. And porters are one of those you can go all over the place with.
So one of those that Jamie and Susan did not get into.
Nope. And we you know, the next time we have
them.
They
made faces.
Yeah, they did make the face. We'll have to try a different route. I think we brought them into the light with the fruit beers, but I think we need to maybe take a different path next time.
Well, some women really like hops.
Yeah.
They're really strongly hop beers, so maybe we can do another hoppy show.
Yeah, I think so. We'll start them the other way. Give them the real hopped ones and then work our way backwards, see what happens. But let's take another break, too, while we're enjoying this lovely porter. It's got a thick head, like the porters do. What do you think about it?
It's very good. It's a nice, thick thick beer, which I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys, if you get a chance, go see the Go-Go's. Give them some support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great show.
We need more visitors. Come to Memphis.
Well, I don't know where they're at now.
Well, yeah, that's true. They're not if they're coming to a town near you, but in May,
visit them. Yes.
In May it's going to be fantastic. And pick a day, any day. You can't go wrong. And I'm going to play another Johnny Taylor track. And this is kind of a little shift. It's some. This one, if you can get a fruit beer or two into the woman in your life and play this song, you'll close the deal for sure. It's called Steal Away. Mm.
Don't you want to steal it?
Steal it.
I want to steal it.
Steal it.
Let me see you steal it.
Steal it.
I've got to see you somehow. Not tomorrow, but right now. I know it's late, but I can't wait. Come on, steal away. Won't you let me steal it? Don't wanna start thinking I might change my mind. Everybody's sleeping. Let's not waste any time. I know it's late. I can't wait. Oh, girl, you got to let me steal. I know it's wrong meeting you this way. There's no other way I can be with you. If all your folks would approve things like this, you and I wouldn't have to do. No, no, steal. No, that must be. I got to steal. Somebody out there, they wanna steal it. They wanna steal.
That was Johnny Taylor again, Steal Away, and that, you just can't get much smoother than that. I mean, that is just a smooth, belly-rubbing song.
And hopefully you took Dick's advice and got your woman liquored up and got yourself some.
That's right. Put your beer goggles on. So we're drinking another one, and you've gone hop crazy on us.
Yeah, I saved these for last because these are actually what I was drinking the week we were in Tahoe.
Yeah.
And they're strongly hopped. It's Sacramento Brewing Company out of Sacramento, California. And what we're enjoying now is a Red Horse Ale named after the Air Force's Rapid Engineering Deployable Heavy Operational Repair Squadron Engineering.
Okay, so actually nothing to do with a horse.
Well, this classic Northern California brew has a deep amber color and has been aggressively dry hopped. No, nothing to do with a horse. Hmm. It's a...
Well, you told me
during the music that the beers are about to get a little hoppy. And as I raised this glass up to take a drink, I got hit with it. I mean, just smelling it.
Yeah, you can just smell it, the citrus.
Did it? Did you just say what kind of hops were in this? Because this has got a little of that Chinook, those real aggressive northern hops.
All I've got is 6.2 ABV.
Well, that's good, too.
Yes, it is.
6.2 alcohol. And you were telling me it was nice for a change of pace not having to go to multiple stores to buy your beers in California. Right.
Yeah, so this wouldn't be sold in a regular grocery store here in Tennessee.
This
You'd have
be
to
a,
go to the liquor store.
Yeah, liquor store beer.
And the liquor store has one shelf, maybe,
yeah,
dedicated to beer.
Well, and that's where I was overjoyed. You know, I called you from Chicago because I'd found a beer supermarket. Oh, man, it was fantastic. That's what's so nice about going other places.
Yeah, Dick and I do that. Hey, guess what I just had? Yeah. A really good beer.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot the time zone change. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to wake you up.
Yeah.
Well, this is a hoppy beer. I'm needing some spicy food or something to go with this. This is really good.
Our show snacks today are plentiful. We have
lime
and chili, blue diamond, bold almonds. We have the balsamic vinegar and sea salt chips.
Yep. We got some
cheese.
Exotic stuff, some Colby and Monterey Jack and sharp cheddar. And if we get around to it, we do have wasabi chips and roasted garlic and sour cream chips. We're just trying to have something different every time.
Our cup runneth over.
Yeah.
Or in this case, our plate.
Yeah. And so, you know, we haven't really, we spoke about the barbecue and about our giving up the ghost on the team. So this is it for our food. But you know,
I guess Tom is pretty well engaged with his company team.
Yeah, he is. So you know what that means. We're going to mooch, hard.
We should get an invite to his
We're
going to
go. We will be bringing some live from the scene reporting from Memphis in May. Nothing else. And then you'll hear what drunken barbecue cook-offs are all about.
And for you barbecue teams out there, the Big Foamy Head guys are willing to travel to your booth.
Yeah, we will. Let us know. Just send us an invite, and we're there. And we're going to see what kind of trouble we can get into down there. But the thing we were talking about, the season's changing, it's getting barbecue time again.
Yes, it
That's
is.
What I'm looking forward to. So pretty soon you'll be hearing these shows with the ambience of crickets and things in the background again as we move back outside.
My wife is reminding me of the pile of bricks in my yard that I need to turn into a smoker.
That's right. So. You got to get that finished. That's maybe something we have to pull a weekend on and get your smoker finished.
Well, it's going to be more than a weekend. Okay. I've laid 20 bricks so far.
Well, not if we do a sloppy job.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So we're enjoying the Red Horse Ale, and one of the things we needed to bring up is we were trying to sell the brewery.
Yes.
Our local brewery.
Trying to sell to Rogue, actually.
Right. We called Rogue. We were trying to get somebody. And what do you know? Press releases are out now. Rick found these. It looks like we got a buyer for the brewery. So the beers are coming back to Memphis in a big way. It's not Rogue. It's not a microbrew. But it's definitely somebody that's going to be bringing something a little different to Memphis. So we'll see what we're getting.
Company out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Once again, Wisconsin-Memphis tie is very strong.
Yep.
So.
And you got a press release there somewhere. It's
City. This is from our friend of the show, Kenny Scubitz. He turned me on to this. I also heard it discussed on the Brewing Network.
Yep.
Those guys, I don't know if you've listened to them. They've got really long shows, though.
Longer than us?
2.5 hours, 3 hours.
Oh, man, that's long.
Yeah. Anyway, if any of you Brewing Network guys are listening, quit ragging on Daniela for being German. Anyway, so the story. Kenny writes, "Glad I don't live in Texas." And then starts off, "Finding drunks in a bar, what are the chances?" San Antonio, Texas. Texas has begun sending undercover agents into bars to arrest drinkers for being drunk, a spokeswoman for the Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission said on Wednesday. So did you get that? They're sending undercover agents in to find drunks in a bar.
I'm speechless.
The first sting operation was conducted recently in a Dallas suburb where agents infiltrated 36 bars and arrested 30 people for public intoxication, said Commission's Carolyn Beck.
Is that like sort of similar to a speed trap? I mean, if you're going into a bar, you got a pretty good shot at finding somebody who's intoxicated or, at the very least, over the legal limit.
Being in a bar does not exempt one from state laws against public drunkenness, Beck said. The goal, she said, was to detain drunks before they leave a bar and go do something dangerous like drive a car.
But they're technically detained while they're in the bar.
Wasn't there a movie about this, The Minority Report, where they'd go arrest people before they committed a crime?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what we're getting into, isn't it?
Yeah.
That just seems, surely, there's got to be some kind of constitutional law about that. I mean, I know you're not in your own home, you're in a business, but it's still technically private property.
She goes on and says, we feel that the only way we're going to get at drunk driving problem and the problem of people hurting each other while drunk is by crackdowns like this. She said, well, let's reinstate prohibition. Get rid of the booze altogether.
That was a good idea, wasn't it? Well, so
yeah,
you,
no crime came.
And you mentioned where this was.
Dallas, Texas. San Antonio is where the story is, though.
Yeah, okay. So the San Antonio. Okay, that's what we. I missed that a little bit, but. Is there another state more fiercely independent than Texas?
And the Lone Star State.
Yeah, the Alamo and defending, you know, all they've done is fight off
oppression. San Antonio was one of the defenders of the Alamo, you know.
And so here we go. They're going into the bars. So the next logical step then is to break into the homes on Friday nights because you know you're going to be having a beverage, right?
Yeah, but is that drunk in public?
Well, but you're not in public. You're inside a private establishment. I think we're going to hear more on that, and there's going to be a ruckus.
It's getting ridiculous. I mean, they've got cities that are outlawing smoking altogether. You can't smoke in the entire city. Now, what people do in the privacy of their own home, I think they cannot legislate that. And then this is obviously silly.
Yeah, that I think is taking a step a little too far. But
personally, I think the cops ought to get a beer shower.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly they're going to go arrest everybody in the bar. Yeah. But if every time they went to do one of these sting operations, they got a huge beer shower.
But how,
okay,
but how is it even a sting? Are they setting up fake bars? I mean, you're walking into a bar. Where's
it's entrapment
the sting?
Is what it is.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's like logical.
Yeah. So. You know, do a little, what do they call it, public misbehavior or whatever. Give them a beer shower.
Yeah.
You're going to get thrown in jail, but it might slow them down.
I believe this is a sign of the apocalypse.
It certainly is. It's bad
news. So we mentioned, though, the city beer people that are coming to, and that's their name, City Beer, City Brewing. They're coming here, they're going to buy the local brewery, which is a very high production. It was formerly for Schlitz, for Coors. And so they're going to do contract batches. They're going to brew some of them alternatives. And, you know, cross your fingers, maybe we'll get some interesting beers out of them. I mean, they got the background. They're coming from Wisconsin, so they got to know beer. Hopefully we'll get something good out of that.
The way I understand it is a microbrewer can go up to them and say, brew me a batch of my microbrew, and they will. You know,
well, so. Cool. Well, who knows? There may be all kinds of things coming out of there, especially with the distributorship here. And we got a history around of some beers that have fallen on hard times, and the breweries are no longer in business. And maybe we'll see some resurrection of some brands. So in other Memphis news, since we are a secret.
Memphis Tigers were in the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they were beaten by the UCLA Bruins.
Yeah.
They never got off the ball that game.
And I watched that game, and I will confess, this is very unmanly of me, but I don't really watch sports.
Mm.
You know, I would rather participate as opposed to watch. And it's only every so often when the Tigers like get on a roll, I'll start watching it.
Yeah, I got sucked into it.
And I did.
Never watched
a
Tigers game before the season. But
I watched the game, not the final game that they were in, but the game before. And was it Gonzaga that they were playing?
UCLA played Gonzaga.
Okay, well, the Tigers were playing somebody. Who did they beat to then go and play? Was it UCLA?
They did beat somebody to go play UCLA. I forget who.
I thought it was Gonzaga.
I thought about bringing it in. No, they didn't. UCLA beat Gonzaga.
Okay. Well, so there you go. I confess.
Darby or something. I don't know.
Well, anyway, it was just an ass whipping. I mean, it was pitiful how bad the other team was being. And I was watching these guys play. They were just tight. Everybody knew where everybody else was.
Mm.
Okay. So the show starts. I'm watching the Tigers come out, and they're playing UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, who the hell are these guys out there? They were missing every single shot. It was just ridiculous. It's like, is this the same team?
They couldn't find the hoop.
They choked.
Yeah.
I swear, and that's what the announcers are talking about this, saying they got to slow down. They got to take their time. They're too worked up. And you could just like hear these announcers, which they're not going to be impartial. I mean, they're going to be impartial, right? But you could tell they were thinking in their minds, oh, my God, these people are screwing themselves. You got to give them credit for going as far as they did. They did a really good job. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And John Calipari.
To be in the Elite Eight, to be the number one
absolutely.
Seed.
They did a great job. It was a great game.
It's a young team.
I tell you where I enjoyed this, though. Okay? Because it's one thing, you know, we have the beer and sports tie. It's one thing to be sitting at home in the armchair watching this, right? I happen to be in Chicago at the ESPN Zone drinking free beer. It doesn't get any better than that.
It doesn't get much better at all.
But the only way it gets much better is if it's good beer. And they had the good beer. I had Sierra Nevadas. They had Liney's. And I was drinking my favorite, Goose Island Honker's Ale in Chicago at ESPN Zone. And so that's how I enjoyed my NCAA.
I was at the Sheffield Antique Mall with my wife and your wife.
That's right.
And watching the game on a fuzzy little television with a guy standing there like the Statue of Liberty with the antenna in his hand as the screen was rolling and buzzing. It looked like an ant race more than a...
That's right. That was the Saturday night.
Yes,
it was. And y'all participated in this, and that leads us to our last story.
Last bit of news.
My wife called me, so proud of herself, and we tried to get her to be on the show, but she refuses to play. She won a contest. Apparently, they had a table of, in her words, weird old things, and you had to guess what they were. And so one of the things they had looked like a long thermometer with a little cup on the end. And everyone, including Rick, guessed what it was. Now, my wife, believe it or not, has been exposed to a lot of beer things. She guessed what it was. It was an antique beer thermometer for, I guess, measuring the wort or temperature
from a scale of 100 to 200 some odd.
Yeah.
And it had a little ice bucket or bath underneath it.
Yeah, was
strangest it? Looking thing. I would have guessed it was for bath water. I did guess it was for bath water.
So she won, and she was very excited about that. So apparently, by osmosis, she's learning about beer.
That's right.
That's the only explanation I got. And so that was a big deal for her, and she felt like, you know, she was in her own way making the beer connection.
Through the magic of podcasting, we're into our last beer. It's a Sacramento Brewing Company. Indian Pale Ale, a very hoppy, high-alcohol pale ale, brewed to withstand the long sea voyages during the height of the English's colonial empire, 6.5 ABV, and this withstood the long trip from Sacramento to Memphis.
This is like drinking a tree. I mean, this is a hopped-up beer.
It's like a classic example of a West Coast.
This is a Northwest.
Extremely well-hopped beer.
I know you don't have the list of hops, but I guarantee you there's some Chinook action. These are like some kind of, I think they're specific only to
Cascade
the Northwest. But, I mean, this is some hardcore hops. I need a Hellfire chicken wing or something to break this down a little bit.
Yeah, I wish they were a little bit more informative about what goes into their beers. But
I mean, this is like, you know, one of my favorite brewers is Stone Brewers, right? In Southern California. This is right up there with the Arrogant Double Bastard. I mean, it is that hopped up. It is definitely a hoppy rascal, and I'm making the hop face. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's good, though. It's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to bitch about the hops, and then I'm going to have another drink, and then another one, and then another one. It's a very sort of, I got like a citrusy aftertaste.
So I wonder if this is the product of the people graduating from UC Davis.
Well,
in the beer-making course.
It's definitely a You got to like your beer to enjoy this one. And I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one. It's like every sip, it's like, got to have a little more. Very good stuff. So
so this was a all-over-the-board show.
Yeah.
Kind of catching up from our vacations and whatnot. And,
yeah.
Didn't want it to get too long before we had the next show out.
That's right.
We do have a very good show lined up next time. We're going to delve into Box.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a selection of Box.
We've got Box coming up. We've got some Belgians that none of us have had ever. And we've got a lot, so stay tuned. We're going to have wind up with Johnny Taylor, one last song. And this is kind of like a Johnny Taylor ballad that got a lot of play back in the day. And it's called Jody's Got Your Girl and Gone. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Drive safe.
Let me tell y'all a story about Jody Ride. Every guy I know trying to get ahead, working two jobs till you're almost dead.
You tell him.
Work your fingers right down to the bone. There's a cat named Jody sneaking around in your home.